So, once again, we're walking through a video store. And Brian says, please, can we please watch Trick or Treat? And we're like, God damn it, Brian, we already talked about it.
No, we would never say it like that. We'd be like, hell yeah.
But then we were like, you know what? We should talk about it. So, we grabbed Trick or Treat from the video store. We rented out another time, and we sat down and we watched it. And now we're going to talk about our thoughts on it. Brian, you really wanted to do this one, so let's have you lead us on this.
I mean, I've always been a fan of this. This was introduced to me by a young gentleman named Colin Ainsworth years ago, and it was awesome then. It's awesome now. It is like one of those things where it's like, I feel like the movie's not super obtainable, which is unfortunate because this is like, everyone's like, people tend to come up to me, they're like, oh, I heard you like bad horror movies, like give me a suggestion. I'm like, I don't know, I watch so many bad ones, I don't know, but this is one I would suggest. And I feel like you can't find it anywhere, but if you can, hold on to it.
Yeah,
because it's a wonderful movie.
No, it's a blast. And I know that Brian was bummed because, you know, when we were doing our Rocktober, he really, really wanted to talk about this one. And we wasted no time. This was like episode 15 of the show or something. Like, it was so early in the podcast. I think we were still combined with Reddit Horror Club when we did this the first time. But
did
yeah,
I pick it?
I think you did.
Because
I would guess
definitely...
it was Scott.
This is definitely like one of those, like, I could watch every Halloween or every October, rather.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun one. It's got great music. It probably, I would say this or Black Roses has like,
I think the Black Roses has
actual
more
soundtrack
good songs.
Yeah, like, yeah. But it's still it's a blast. And it's, you know, this is one of those movies where, you know, there's a friend of ours from Monster Mania, Sean, who loves this type of stuff. He watched Black Roses for the first time this October, and we were
nice.
Talking about it. But, like, that dude, his bread and butter, much like Scott, are these, like, heavy metal horror films. Like, can't get enough of them.
I truly cannot either.
I think that this is, like, top tier. This is, like...
Yeah.
This and Black Roses are the two best, in my opinion.
Yeah, I
agree. Absolutely.
And, like, and that's not that, like, obviously... The one that I probably watch the most is going to always be Rock and Roll Nightmare, but it's for a completely different reason. Rock and Roll Nightmare is such an insanely poorly made movie.
Yeah.
That, like, it's super fun to watch. It's super fun to watch with a group of people where you're just like, what the fuck is happening? But as far as, like, a genuinely well-made movie, yeah, Black Roses and Trick or Treat are, like, the ones to achieve being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what's so... It's still mind-boggling for me. I was like, okay, so I know that Fastway, the band that did the soundtrack, and I know that when we talked about this the first time, I was like, did you guys know that the singer from Fastway went on to do Flogging Molly? I mean, that's true. Like, I was worried that I had gotten my mind jumbled up with some other hair metal band or something like that. But I went back and I did a bunch of reading about this because I wanted to be absolutely sure. And so Fastway was the guitarist from Motorhead, the bassist from UFO, and the singer from Flogging Molly, which is just so weird to me. And reading their fucking wiki is brutal. Every other line, I swear, is like, their next album was poorly received. It's like everything that they did was just not ever as good as their... shining moments in their bigger bands. Like, I'm talking about Motorhead and UFO. But it's like Fastway was, it was kind of that guitarist and bassist. It was their kind of like 30-year side project. It's very strange, but like every single time they put out a record, it was like, people were like, eh.
Yeah.
All Sammy Kerr music was composed by the band Fastway and composer Christopher Young. Christopher Young went on to compose music for Hellraiser 2, Urban
Legend.
Freddy's
Revenge.
Yeah. The Uninvited, Drag Me... Well, the later, like 2009 Uninvited, I'm
not,
sorry.
Not
Drag
the
Me to Hell, Spider-Man 3, The Gift. But yeah, like, let me go to Fastway's...
That's insane to think that, like this movie is so built on, like, people, like listening to that, it's like, okay, so Fastway was, like, this band that almost was there and never made it. Like, I would consider Christopher Young, like, the dude's made it. The dude's making money. But, like, he's also kind of, like, one of those composers where it's, like, you don't know that he's there. He's not, like, a Danny Elfman. He's not, like,
John Carpenter,
or even like a John Williams. Like, he's not one of those like composers that everybody knows. Like, it's just like a, you know, oh yeah, no, Danny Elfman, he does these movies. But like, he's doing movies that we've all seen. Like, we've all like any horror fan has watched Hellraiser. But like, it's not like a composer name that's on your lips. And the weird thing about this movie that I always thought was interesting is who directed it. The director of this movie was a former actor, and his biggest role was in American Graffiti as the Toad.
Yeah, like, that's right.
It's like, that's crazy to me. Like, that's so weird that, like, this dude who got basically just played, like, a geek who got shit on in American Graffiti, like, went on to direct this, like, heavy metal horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and you know who was supposed to play Sammy Kerr originally?
Who?
Blackie Lawless of Wasp.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so funny because they show up. I think that Scream Until You Like It, which is in Ghoulies 2, I think that that shows, if it didn't show up in this movie, it showed up in another movie that we are discussing soon, I believe. I don't know. But, like, it's just so funny because it's just like this weird incestual group of, like, for the this time period. So also the special effects were done by Kevin Yeager, and we just talked about him with Stephen Bay for what the fuck?
Oh, Rumpelstiltskin.
And Kevin Yeager did a bunch of phenomenal special effects. So I mean, it's just like this very small group of people that were killing it in the 80s with just the stuff that makes our, you know, our mouths water.
Brian, so the guy who directed this movie, Charles Martin Smith, he left a pretty big impression on you, Brian, because he directed this movie that you loved as a child, and he also went on to direct Air Bud, which I believe was a fan favorite of Brian Kelly as a kid.
Oh, what a! I mean, if you have a heart, you're an Air Bud fan.
His latest movies, like, I'm looking at, like, what he's been up to since, and I'm like, ooh, just making depressing movies. He's making, like, Dolphin Tale and, like, A Dog's Journey Home and, like, all these movies just designed to make you cry because it's animals in bad situations. So He's come a long way from making a horror film about a nerd getting revenge on the people who didn't like heavy metal at his school. And also prank him in, like, Rube Goldberg-level ways. Like... Like the bathroom depancing and throwing into the gymnasium maneuver. Oh,
brutal.
Is, yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces in that prank.
Like, yeah. Can't just half-ass that prank. That takes time.
You have to full-ass it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, then the Sammy Kerr stuff, it's I like that this movie really is playing up like a lot of the history at that time as it was happening. It's not even like looking at it from a revisionist lens. It's looking at it just a year or two after it happened, because very clearly there's like those moments that are like inspired by Ozzy Osbourne of him like ripping up the snake on stage, or like the D. Snyder appearing in front of the courts to talk about FMC. Was that what it was called? FMMC? I don't remember what it is. But the organization that made, like, the parental advisories, and he's like, we will rip you down. And then, you know, tragically, he's dead, the news announces.
Don't they say, like, live fast, die young? And it's like, that's not appropriate if you're pushing 40. Like, he died at 38 or 39, like, you know, Sammy Kerr, it says in the TV, the news segment that says that he died in the fire. I'm pushing 40, and I definitely do not live fast. Okay, guys?
I live very slow.
One of the things that I had to laugh at, and maybe this was the case in the 80s, it's certainly not the case anymore, is the idea that Ragman can just, like, walk into a radio station and hang out with the DJ. Just
cause. It's also a small town. I don't know.
But yeah,
you literally just showed up to Cincinnati and hung out at Kid Chris's studio.
But that involved me messaging them. I messaged them in advance and was like, hey, I'm going to be in the area. Can I hang out? And they're like, yeah, sure. Here's the passcode.
Like, yeah, but that's the thing, is that there was no social media back then. You'd have to call. You'd have to be. So I'm assuming that Ragman had no social life, right? And so he
and just called all the time.
Or Roger. Yeah, he would call the Wolfman Jack character, basically. And so they became... You know, it's like a wounded puppy, you know, or it's like this little depressing creature that you can't say
in.
No to. Yeah, it's basically your life story, Matt.
Yeah, when Matt used to call radio stations, it was just like, hi, I was wondering if you could play the thong song. And they're like, we already played the thong song. He's like, but I didn't get a chance to hear it.
I didn't get a chance to tape it off of the radio. Yeah. The funny thing about, I want to say one thing about Eddie's friend Roger. He was played by Glenn Morgan. This is his only acting credit on IMDb. But he actually went on to be a pretty prolific writer and director and producer, rather. He worked on The X-Files, Final Destination, Final Destination 3. So I would think that he and Christopher Young would have worked together on Final Destination. And he directed the Black Christmas remake.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
And I had no idea.
You know, we love that shit over here on Horror Movie Night. That is a fun fucking remake. And again, I feel like I always have to clarify this with people. I've gotten into this with someone again recently about Fright Night. Like, you can like both.
Yes,
you're allowed to.
Yeah, the people that think that you can only like one version of a movie are the kind of people that are like single issue voters. Yeah. You know, they're like, well, how could you agree with this politician on this thing but disagree with him on this? Or they're like, well, you're upset about this news story. What about this news story? And you're like, I am an adult with a high functioning brain. I can do both.
Yeah, I can be pissed about both of these things.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's like...
It's called being a pragmatist.
Yeah, is Black Christmas from 2006 a better movie than the 1974 Black Christmas? Absolutely not.
That is one of
Black
the most Christmas important movies worth, in horror.
Yeah, like...
best horror movies of all time.
Yeah, yeah, but like, is it still fun as fuck to watch someone throw an ice skate at someone and decapitate them? Absolutely. Like, I'll watch that... a million times. Or watch someone suck a candy cane to the point that it's an ice pick and stab someone in the eye. Yeah, I'm going to fucking love that movie. Like,
what are you watching a Christmas horror, holiday horror for, if not to see things exactly like that happen?
Oh, God. I feel like that movie's starting to get like a little bit of its...
finally.
Like... Because, I don't know, I was just talking to Miguel about this because he had posted about Jason Lives and how he's like, this is essentially, once the credits roll on this, it's a very unfortunate continuing to watch the Friday the 13th franchise.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's true. And I was like, I want people to like rediscover how good Part 5 is. Like, we've done it with Freddy's Revenge. We've done it with Season of the Witch. Like, I think that's the next one that like needs people to be like, oh, just because it's not Jason doesn't mean that it's shit. Like,
I think that you're preaching to the choir, though. A lot of people have been defending that for years. I think that if Black Christmas can get a little bit of Black Christmas 2006 can get a little bit of love, that would be phenomenal. But I'm not going to hold my breath at all because remakes in the horror genre,
very divisive conversation.
Except for the fact that the people that are like, how could you like the remake, are the people that don't know that The Thing 82 is a fucking remake.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, yeah. Whatever.
But hey,
whatever.
You know, if I were to be doing a cover of a song from Trick or Treat, I would have to absolutely grab that line where Sammy Kerr keeps going, Metal Machines 6-6 Crush, Metal Machines 6-6 Crush, because it's iconic. It's so fucking good.
So I had the dumbest idea when I was watching this the other night, and Brian, this might be an assignment for you specifically.
Oh, no.
So there's a scene in this movie that, I won't lie, it's a bit of a rapey scene where a girl starts listening to a cassette tape, and then ghostly hands come out and she feels so, it kind of makes her feel like she needs to take off her clothes.
Oh, it takes her clothes off for her, dude.
Okay. I mean,
she's like in ecstasy.
That's what I mean. So she's in total ecstasy. Brian, can you take that clip and remove the song and put an episode of Horror Movie Night in there instead?
Brian, I will. Be able to do that, but I have a task for you, Matt. Any noises that she makes, I'm not that skilled to keep them in, so I need you to re-record.
Okay, I went from thinking that this is a terrible idea to thinking this is a terrible idea that I need to see.
I was like watching it, and I was like, there's a joke somewhere here that ties us back to us as podcasters. Where is it? And then I was like, oh my God, like, it'd be so funny. She like hits play on the tape and it's just like, it's Horror Movie Night. And then just like, hey, everybody.
Actually, I like it better without you doing it and just talking about it on this episode. But hey, so I got to my last two notes and I realized something. When I was like, oh, I think the Scream Until You Like It, it shows up in another movie that we were discussing. It shows up in this movie. It shows up at 11:59 p.m. right before midnight when he's going to like take over the airwaves. But I, the other thing I have to say is I just absolutely love the fact that you can foil an electricity ghost by throwing a trash can at him and he trips over it into the toilet. And that's basically me at 3 a.m. You know, I'm just like, oh, and I fucking fall into the toilet. It's just...
So I've got a question.
I know this movie's serious. I know this movie is serious, and it's not a movie to break the fourth wall. But I was really hoping that they did after the toilet scene when she was like, is he dead? And I just wanted him to be like, well, we still have 25 minutes left, so probably not. I was praying for that. But he didn't.
So I have a question for you guys. Do you think there's the Ozzy Osbourne scene where he's like the preacher on television talking about the evils of heavy metal and Sammy Kerr seemingly kills him by like grabbing the TV set? Do you think that Sammy Kerr actually killed Ozzy Osbourne's character or that was something to freak out Ragman? And the reason I ask is because if he did successfully do that... He might be one of the most powerful ghosts in horror movie history.
Well, he can go through electricity. So, I mean, here's the question. And this is, we'll get a vote. We'll take a vote because there are three of us, odd number. We'll vote.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he was able to hurt people before being reborn at the Halloween dance?
Hmm. Let's see. Yes.
Yes, I agree. Yes, actually,
because he did. You know, he was able to get into the machine
Yeah. So I agree as well. So we have a consensus. So that means that he did, in fact, murder that old woman on TV and then Ozzy Osbourne.
So here's where I get torn, right? Because he could now maybe he did kill them. And pulling the body out was just practical effect. And by him touching them, they had a heart attack or something. But how is that not being discussed throughout the entire movie if somebody just disappears on live television?
That's what I was thinking. Or like just randomly dies in the middle of talking on television. Like that's where I'm like, ooh, that creates such a weird extra piece of this.
And I'm aware, everyone, I'm aware that we are total douchebags for even... having that conversation.
Because
do you expect us to believe that he could do
and I'm not even taking it from that perspective. I guess it's like, if he can do that shit, why the fuck does he even need Ragman anymore? Like he can just kill people through a television set.
Ah, good point.
like
so
that's
yeah,
where
maybe
like,
it was just intimidation. I don't know.
It raises a lot of
questions.
Because
the one he pulled the corpse out, the old lady, he like literally pulled her burnt corpse out of the television.
Yeah, and that's cool as fuck. But that would make him very OP. I don't know, guys. Listeners, please, let us know what you think. Yeah, send us an email about... maybe we have to have a Patreon episode about strongest ghosts in Horror Movie Night.
Yeah, I mean,
so
Sammy
we just
got to
keep our eye... We got to keep our eyes peeled. To see if there's any showings of Air Bud with a Q&A afterwards and show up and then ask the question there.
It's just a bunch of children and then us being like, but in Trick or Treat. Oh, God. But yeah, no, classic movie. I'm glad that Brian got to talk about it. Do we have any other things that we want to talk about with Trick or Treat beyond, like, go fucking see it if you haven't, because it's great.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's it. Fucking watch it.
I have a question for you guys, though, about Sammy Kerr. So the guy that actually did play Sammy Kerr, I don't have his name up in front of me right now, but he was, I believe, a dancer. Like an LA dancer, not an actual meddler, but that's fine. But he very athletic, and I believe he died of AIDS a couple years after this came out. So he might have been sick while actually filming the film, filming the movie. But you never know because he was killing it. But here's the thing: is that so? Ragman is already pretty confused about life, right? You know, he doesn't know where to turn. He has no friends except for Roger. He has this girl who likes him for no apparent reason. No father figure. His mom is kind of an idiot. You know, she doesn't seem to be around a lot. Maybe it's because it's a single mom. She has to work a lot. I don't know. And then his idol, Sammy Kerr, comes busting out of a speaker wearing these tight fucking pleather pants and a ripped nylon shirt, or not nylon, but like, you know, it's like fishnet rather. I mean, that would confuse anyone sexually, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So I looked into him real quick. Tony Fields is the actor's name. He was a solid gold dancer. And
thank you.
He appeared in the Queen music video for Body Language at Freddie Mercury's direct request.
Wow.
He also performed as a dancer in Beat It and Thriller for Michael Jackson, and starred in the movie version of A Chorus Line. So this sentence, the last sentence about how he died, I'm obviously not a medical expert at all, so I just had no clue that this was a thing. It said he died of an HIV-related cancer.
Oh, fuck. I didn't know that was a thing either.
Yeah, I didn't know that there was like a combination of the both. But yeah, he died in 1995. So a little less than 10 years after.
Yeah.
Okay, so he wasn't sick during the filming of this. Okay.
Because I don't know. Maybe there is and we don't know. Or is it just saying that like he may have had a cancer that was treatable, but due to the fact that he was already dealing with such a weak immune system, that's what makes it. Because I never heard of anything where HIV can cause cancer or lead to cancer.
Yeah, I don't know. And the only reference point is a link to a group that does a yearly charity event in his honor. So
gotcha.
Who knows?
That's wonderful, though. That's awesome to hear
that
there's a charity event for him.
Yeah, the Tony Fields tribute, which happens... I guess pretty regularly at this college. But yeah, so I do want to talk about, I know that Brian it's a weird note to talk about. I posted about this on our Facebook page pretty recently, but Brian and I's uncle died unexpectedly, actually on my birthday, which was not great. And we hadn't really been in touch with him for a really long time, but I wanted to just bring it up because he's kind of the person who guided Brian and I into horror. And I don't think it was like an intentional thing, but it was just like the lifestyle that he lived and the love of horror that he had just made it so interesting to two young kids. And I can't say if he was a fan of Trick or Treat or not, but I can say that any movie that would have been worth saying, let's talk about this in honor of Uncle Craig, we've already done. Because he introduced us to Elvira. He introduced us to Monster Squad. He introduced me to Toxic Adventure by mistake. He introduced us into The Gate and Uncle Sam. So many movies that we've covered, I only know because, you know, he had an immense collection of horror movies. He collected horror statues. He did these giant, crazy Halloween displays every year. And at one point, he ran a deli and put his VHS tapes out for rental, and we would rent movies from him all the time, and almost exclusively horror movies. So I just wanted to end just, you know, kind of mentioning him. It felt weird not to bring him up, I'm not sure, Brian, you were a lot younger than me, but do you have any like memories of hanging out at his house when we were kids?
Yeah, all the time, man. I love the literally there was two movies that I would constantly want to rent, which was Uncle Sam and Ghost Dad. And the reason for both of them was because they both had holographic covers that when you turned them, they were something different.
Yeah. We watched Ghost Dad a lot at that house, which is,
yeah, I did get attacked by his chickens before.
That's right. Yeah.
Oddly enough,
he had a big ass turtle. Do you remember that?
Yeah. We passed his house last, when I was up there for Julie's wedding. Yeah. Me and Dad passed his house. Not the deli, the one prior to that. And that was when I got attacked by the chickens. and I said, oh, I just got a shiver in my spine.
Well, and his basement was like a fun house for kids. Like he had like so many pinball machines. He had the Funhouse pinball machine, both Elvira pinball machines, the Indiana Jones pinball machine, and he had the Aliens arcade game. And I remember he had it so that there was a giant jar of quarters that you could just keep putting into the machines. And there was like one day where I was like, I am beating this Aliens arcade game if it kills me. And I just like kept feeding quarters in every single time I died until I beat the game. It's the only arcade cabinet that I've ever beaten. And it's a great side scroller game. Side note, Aliens, the arcade game is fucking awesome. But yeah, like just all that stuff. Like to this day, I wish I could find those Hellraiser statues that he used to have because they were so detailed and so cool. Got us into Star Wars. He made his fortune selling toys on eBay when eBay first became a thing. He had two or three complete sets of the original Star Wars toys still in their cases. Like the whole like 150 toy run. He had every Dick Tracy toy, including the ones that never got released in the States. Like he just had these contacts with people where it'd be like, oh, this toy's going to be really rare, but it's going to get released in Canada. So I'm going to contact my Canada guy and send him like $100 and tell him to buy as many of this toy as he can and ship them to me. And like he'd always keep a few for himself, but then the rest would be like, hold on to it for a couple years, let the value build and build and build, and then like when it's at its peak price, sell it. And you know, there's like a wrestling toy that I still have in the box because he told my dad like this is going to be worth something one day. And if you look it up, like that particular figure is like worth like $200-$300 now. When my dad got it for $2, like he just was always on the forefront of that stuff. So it's weird because we were so young, I didn't appreciate how much he influenced me until I was much older and was like, oh yeah, no, this guy was a huge influence on my taste in everything.
Yeah.
I do want to at least talk about the Halloween displays real quick, because those were like, that's the stuff that I remember, is he would build these elaborate Halloween displays outside of his house. And I'm not talking about like I would love to recreate what he did, and I just don't think I have the talent or the skill to do it. But like most people do like cool decorations, you know, like you build like a little graveyard in your house and you get some clothes and stuff them with like hay or whatever to make it. He would go out and purchase mannequins. He would take apart the mannequins and rebuild them with motors so that they would move a specific way that he wanted them to move. I remember the big one was that he built an electric chair and put a dummy inside the electric chair. And then had it set so that on a specific timer, the light above the chair would turn on, the whole body would convulse and start stomping its feet. And like, just like this stuff that he was just building himself in his garage with his son, who also unfortunately passed away earlier this year. Just like some of the craziest, coolest stuff. I wish I could find the videotapes of those displays. I can't even find the photographs of those displays anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Uncle Craig, this one's for you. It's a bummer we didn't get to see more of you later in life, but you know, thank you for without you there wouldn't be a horror movie night. I can categorically say that. So you know, thank you for giving us this great show and like introducing Scott into my life too, because I would have never met Scott if I wasn't a horror fan, and he's one of my best friends. So
yay!
Yay! So Sorry for the sad bummer note, but Halloween's just around the corner, guys. So tune in, because while this episode is dropping pretty much as soon as we're done recording it, I have to do a little bit of tweaking, but it'll come out probably today, if not tomorrow. I don't know. That means nothing to you guys listening. On the docket, we've got some Halloween classics coming up in the next 2 weeks, so strap in for that, and we will be renting another movie next month, possibly. Ooh, spooky. All right, thanks guys, bye.